Over the last couple of years, we've addressed the stages of conversion to Christ, to full conversion to Christ that was put forth by a Canadian theologian, Father Bernard Lonergan. And just as a kind of a recapitulation of those three stages of conversion, they're called spiritual conversion, moral conversion, and intellectual conversion. The spiritual conversion is simply the early stages of recognizing that there is a God and I need Him. Okay, there is a God and I need Him. The second stage of moral conversion is probably what most of us would define as conversion fairly generically, in which we recognize that God who has an individual relationship with that we need actually gives us then precepts. There's things that as people who believe in this God, we do, and there are things that we do not do by His revelation and His communication to us. The third is the intellectual conversion, in which we have put ourselves totally into the hands of God, mind, body, spirit, behavior, and we trust in Him in everything. And those three stages of conversion are actually very important in our own lives in terms of recognizing it. But we also realize that if we don't understand, particularly when we're trying to communicate God to other people, where they might be on this various continuum and spectrum, it can undermine our ability to bring people to God, or we can soft sell or not appreciate where somebody is, that they actually do have a connection with God, and we're not recognizing it because it might not be far enough along the stage. And I've seen this unfold in multiple situations, and one sort of certainly in hindsight is many years ago, I accompanied a group of high school students to a mission trip to a very impoverished area on the south side of Chicago. And it was run by a Franciscan service organization, a group of Franciscan brothers and priests in a place of poverty that I had certainly never experienced or seen before in my life. And as it so happened, by providence, our little group of high school students and their chaperones were teamed up with a group of young adult evangelical Christians on that week. And I'm thinking when I got there, you know, what's this going to be like? Are they going to try to talk our kids out of their Catholic faith and all those sorts of things? Because we come from different theological backgrounds and experiences of living the church and all those sorts of things. But it actually turned out to be quite different. All right. The reason that these young adults had connected with this Franciscan group to do some service is precisely because they had recognized in their own growth in the Lord that a follower of Christ must serve the poor. All right, a follower of Christ must serve the poor. And they saw and they recognized in the Catholic Church that we had infrastructure and structures that were just much, much more available and easier to connect with than their own particular church. And they wanted to do that. They wanted to roll up their sleeves and serve the poor. And so we did. And what they're responding to is in a general way is what St. John tells us today in that first reading this morning, right? When he writes to the Christians and says, we need to love, okay? We need to love not just in words, but in deed and in truth. All right, in deed and in truth, that our love has to be concrete in action, and it can't simply be an idea and something said, but it has to be something lived. And they understood that, and they were following that. We were kind of doing it in our own way as well. And so in some ways, we were all sort of in that various continuum in the middle of moral conversion, of recognizing that the God who loves us and calls us and is in relationship with us is actually telling us to do something very concretely in serving the weak and the poor. And so our stories sort of merged, and in that merged story, it created a conduit for relationship with people from very, very different backgrounds, very different perspectives on what the church is, okay? Very different perspectives and understanding of the Eucharist, different perspectives on what role the Blessed Mother actually plays in faith and in salvation. And potentially, I suppose, in a different environment, those things could be conflict-inducing. I'm right and you're wrong. But in fact, what happened is because we were on that trajectory and that path of conversion together and recognizing our common need to serve the poor, it opened up a place for conversation about things that you might not have otherwise. Even to the point of these young adult evangelical Christians asking about Mary in the Catholic Church. They're asking about the Blessed Mother. They have no idea, all right? They have no idea, and probably had been raised and catechized to think that somehow Catholics believe that Mary is a deity, that she's God. So we had the opportunity to communicate with them the unity that Mary has with Jesus, and in that unity as the first disciple, and her love for all of her children, and her desire that they would be in heaven along with her and Jesus, and the fact that the Hail Mary actually comes from the Gospel of Luke. You can show them in the scriptures that they love that this is where it begins, in the conversation between the angel Gabriel and Mary. And in the same conversations, they can communicate their own love for the scriptures. And they did that, all right? And they did that. And this common desire, all right, this common desire of all of us as people of faith from different perspectives, wanting to be a faithful and fruitful branch of the Lord, all right, to be a fruitful branch of Jesus, wanting to cling to that vine. And cling to that vine so we can continue to bear more fruit, it crossed, okay? The stories crossed. The stories of this young adult group, the stories of our high school group, the story of Jesus, that who continues to call us and invite us into deeper conversion, deeper knowledge of the Lord, and more full and complete discipleship. Those stories come together and beautiful things happen. Beautiful things happen. It's not just a blob here and a blob here and a blob here, but it's the Lord's desire to be one with us, the Lord's desire to bring us together, and our common stories of desire to be closer and near to Him and to be better disciples actually help something to grow. Our young people, as Catholics, and this probably isn't going to surprise you, understand there's things that they have to do. And they want to serve. It's part of our bones to want to serve, and that makes very sense. But oftentimes it's a lived but not understood faith. It's not. And so what happens is they come to a conclusion that really being a disciple of Jesus is being a nice person. If I'm a nice person, then I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. All right. And these evangelical Christians who have a deep knowledge and love of the Word shared their love of the Scriptures and shared the understanding that is our understanding too, that to be a disciple is more than just doing good things and being a nice person. It's actually knowing who Jesus is. It's knowing the Scriptures, right? It is having an actual relationship with Him. And it's having that relationship with Him in a world that may not understand, all right? That may not understand. In a world, frankly, that from then to now has gotten further and further away from God. And that beautiful merging of the stories hopefully created stronger, more complete, and more fully converted Christians from very different backgrounds. Because the truth is, we are all called in our faith to, as branches, to bear fruit But it can't happen unless we cling closely to the vine. And when we cling closely to the vine, our stories are going to cross, okay, and become stronger with other branches on the vine. And it is a beautiful thing, because we know, all right, we have a God who loves us, a God who wants to be in relationship with us. And in those early stages, we recognize that. As we continue to grow, he calls us into action, all right, to do things, but not just to do things, but to do things because and to continue our relationship with him. And when we do that, and we do that and continue to walk on that path of conversion to grow more deeply in love and more deeper and a more deep commitment to our Lord, we recognize in the merging of the stories our call, and in the mergings of the stories with each other and with the Lord's, that we are able to continue to be strong, faithful, committed, and action-oriented disciples. And as we do that even when the world gets further and further away, that we continue to walk on that path of conversion to know, to act, believe, behave like a disciple, and give ourselves more fully and completely to him in mind, in soul, in body, and behavior.